the shiur is about one gemara. And this gemara is it grates on the modern sensibilities, which means two things. First of all, that lemaisa we do need to explain it. And number two, that there's something wrong with our sensibilities. And that's part of the explanation. The Ochas Tzadikim has a series of sha'arim, of gates, of topics. And one of his topics is called Shar Ha'achzorius, cruelty, in which he points out that cruelty essentially is an extremely negative midah. He tries to point out, well, we don't have to explain cruelty, but the measure of every midah, he says, is not the midah itself, because every midah has a positive quality in a certain context. Even if the midah is sometimes totally positive, it can on occasion be negative. And even if the midah is most negative, it can on occasion be positive. So it's not that everything is 50-50. There are midahs that are 95% good, but there could be situations where 5% is bad, and vice versa. So achzorius obviously generally is a very bad midah. Cruelty. Cruelty here does not necessarily mean pulling out somebody's fingernails. Cruelty could also mean neglect, could mean contempt. There's a whole range of what falls under cruelty. Oinoaz dvorim can sometimes be much worse. And you see, malbim zechaver v'rabim is kilu shayfech domin. So cruelty can have tremendous manifestations. Interestingly enough, by the way, if you want to understand the development of a person in their midos over time, just look at your typical class of 7th grade girls. And there'll be a banda that gangs up on one, and that person's life is made miserable for days and maybe months. And it's almost impossible for the teachers or the principals to do something about it. The same people could become tzidkaniyo shebegan eidin v'noy maramein later on. And it's hard to even understand or comprehend the transition. But I have to tell you, the transition happens to a very great extent naturally. It's not pshat that they worked on themselves from the time they were 12 or 13, and by the time they're 18, they're terrific. It's not a matter of working on yourself as much as a matter of growing out of it. And this is an astonishing thing. So we have, obviously, inside of us all kinds of negative forces that sometimes we can't even explain. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? And I'll tell you, Maisa Shahaya, Mayridika Maisa. I get a call a few days ago from a young lady who's terribly distraught. She's mamish besides herself. She says that a number of girls from her class in high school have taken very ill, and they're very young. They're in their 30s. And they're very, very sick. And the Oilam was wondering, Bishalmi haroa hagadoyla hazois. Like the people who were with Yoina on the ship. Who is responsible for this? And they made a cheshbon hanefesh, a collective cheshbon hanefesh, that there was one teacher that was very able and very soft and very easygoing, and she didn't have the smarts, the ability to withstand, and they chapped on that, and they made her miserable. They made her miserable. They're talking about high school kids already, but afal pikein. Now you have to understand who's calling me. A tzadekes. And all their friends are tzidkanius, and they're married beautifully, and they have wonderful mishpachas, and they are mamish le'elul, l'shemul teferis. But at that time, it was what it was. What happened was, this teacher took ill, and she was nifteris. And they are choshesh that they made her life miserable, contributed to her matzav. So they're thinking of going to send 10 men to the kever. She's buried in Beit Shemesh in Eretz Yisrael, to send 10 people to the kever to ask her mechila. Takes a certain amount. Now, if you'd ask every one of these, what would be the lashon, what one word would describe your behavior towards this teacher, which word would they pick? A Achzorius. Exactly. And then you'll ask them, if you had to do it over again, would you do that? Would I do it? I'd give my right arm before I would do it. So what happened in between? It's a pelet de gezach. So it takes time for a person's capacity for the higher understanding and for the nobility and for the training that Yiddishkeit provides to kick in. It's a pelet de gezach. And that's also why you can never, ever pasken up on a child, because you never know when that will happen. And the same person who could have made the teacher absolutely miserable could become the biggest baal tzedakah of a chesed and worry about the smallest hurt when they grow up and make the most perfect husbands or wives. It's a pella. You never know. But there's a certain capacity for achzorius that is in every single one of us. I remember somebody once told me that he saw a kid running and he doesn't understand what happened. He stuck out his foot so that the kid should trip. Pella de gezach. He couldn't chap. Like, how did he come to do something like that? And it is a pella. But inside of us, there are all kinds of forces that are lurking, that are still buried. You know, they've been crushed. They've been trampled upon. Negative kaychas that we've controlled. But they're all there somewhere. I don't know that anyone has cleansed himself so totally that something is not shaykh. And that's why the potential for achzorius exists. And sometimes, says the Shair Achzorius of the Orchis Sadikim, there's a positive. He writes as follows. Ad ata siparnu ruos achzorius, the terrible nature of achzorius. Until now, I've been giving you all the negatives. Ach yesh mekoymos, shetzorich linoig b'achzorius, k'neged harishayim, for example, k'derech sh'omar iyoiv, and he quotes a posuk in Iyov Perek Chof Tes, v'shabru matlois ovel, and so on. K'mash amra Torah, l'homis harishayim ul'al koysa. It takes something to kill somebody, no matter what. And to give malchus, even though the malchus has to be measured carefully that the person can handle it. But imagine you're taking a person and you're beating him, you're hurting him. Hayitofe. So that's the Vakeinomu Rabbi Seinu. And it's interesting, I wrote a whole sefer on this topic, just my last sefer. Vakeinomu Rabbi Seinu, Misha Eno Rotzalasa Sukha Vitzitzis Letalisoi, U Mezuzo Lepischoi, Makin Oisoi Acha Teitze Napshoi. Morang Subas Pei Vova Medalif. You have a person, what's the avla that he did? He refuses to build a sukkah. He refuses to put on tefillin or whatever it is. Doesn't want to put on a mezuzah on his door. So they warn him everything. And lemaisa, he still refuses. So if the opportunity still exists for him to do the mitzvah, makin oisay achetetzei nafshay, pilei ploy. So of course that requires some measure of achzorius. Now, when they use the word achzorius in the Orchis Tzadikim and others in this context, you know what it means? It means you have to harden your rachmanis instincts. And that's achzorius. In other words, everybody, you know the famous expression, and most of the time actually it's true, even though it sounds funny. Father is about to give his kid a good patch. I never said it. You're not even allowed to say it. Father's about to give his kid a good patch, and he says to his kid, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." That's the expression. Now, that is, in fact, true by a normal father. Who wants to hurt his child? It's not a serious hurt. It's in the right place. It doesn't hurt for long. You know, they used to have in Litta, at least, I don't know how it was in the Hasidish world, The Bali Musa used to have a special strap. And that was not, he didn't take off his belt. He had a special strap. And the strap would hang there. And if it ever happened, Chas V'Sholem, that the child did something, so he got a couple of patch with the strap in the you-know-where. And afterwards, the father would ask the child to kiss the strap. That this is a meiridika hadracha, that's kedai, I just did you a tremendous taifa. And that's that. Then they hung the strap back up. That was a chinuch. Today, this is like, you know, the world has become so much better. and children are so much nicer and more refined. Don't kid yourself. I read all the time. It's true, whatever, but the relationship of parents and children today are much more open and much more positive, and, you know, they're like good friends.
The trouble.
That's exactly the trouble.
But they can't keep him in the house. They must go to the old age home because it's too close.
That's right. It's tutzei avei the kinder to watch their parents suffering, so they put them in the old age home so they shouldn't suffer so much. Anyhow, Mikitza, this is the achzorius that he's talking about. It doesn't mean achzorius. It's not cruelty. It's the absence of rachmanus, the holding back of your instincts of rachmanus, because you have to accomplish a certain ubiyarto or rami kirbecha, or to get the person to do mitzvahs, etc. V'chol zet zorech achzorius lirdoi farishoyim ulachbid aleihem ulachzirom lamutav. You see, the tachlis is always positive, but the method is sometimes hard. Here gives another example. Shelo yirachem al kroiva v'oyava v'al hadalim. Yubeinecho kerishoyim. When they come in, there's no such thing as you're a yosem, I'm going to make things easy for you if you're in the wrong. And so on and so forth. Ein rachem im bedin. That also has its mitigations, but the general principle is what it is. Right? Tzorich lifsoik aleihem hadin. So until now we have examples which have to do with punishment and which have to do with din. Now he introduces what to get people to do mitzvahs. But it's all essentially the same idea. And all of them involve bezdin activities, interestingly enough. What about your average person? You have a child, the child is tired. Child is tired. A merachem says, as famatat, did a lot of homework, has long hours in school, let him sleep a little longer. What's going to be the consequence of sleeping a little longer? You miss the bus, I'll take you. You miss 10 minutes of yeshiva, nishkefelach. You miss davening betzibur, nishkefelach. So what is that? That's rachamim, or that itself is achzorius. You know, we don't know sometimes what is achzorius and what is rachamim. Because in the short run, he's sleeping a little longer, and that's rachamim. In the long run, you're training a person that tefillah betzibur is optional. That's a terrible thing. And it isn't really optional. It's not. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch and you look at the Paiskim in general, outside of the Shulchan Aruch, it's not optional. It's true that tefillah b'yachid is also a tefillah, but tefillah b'tzibur has all kinds of positive things. Remember that we even learned that kriya shma b'tzibur is an inyan. Remember when we were speaking about Taryag and how you get the number and how important it is ramach, you know, that it has to match. So what's the big deal? Because each one is against one of the Eivarim, and it's a segula for the health of the Eivarim, etc., etc. And it's dafka b'tzibur, because without the tzibur, what are you missing? The Hashem Elokeichem Emes, the extra three. So it's no question that tefillah b'tzibur, and also it puts you in a different relationship with Ribono Shel Olam. It puts you in a different context of your day, of your avodas Hashem throughout the day. People are makbid all three tefillah should be b'tzibur. It's a different kind of life. What is the price that this father is paying for the little bit of rachmanis, and so on? But he goes right now to that Gemara in Erev and Daf Chav Beis that we mentioned. In the chapter of Shaar HaChzorius, interesting. V'oid Omer Rabbi Sein, b'mi'ata moitze divrei Torah, b'misha meisim atzmai achzori al bonov ka'orev, like the raven. K'moi Rav Ada bar Masna shoyo holich lebeis HaMedrash, v'omer lo yishtoi, he's going off to the Beis Medrash, v'os v'tzayin. Before we continue, there's a maisa with the kotzka. There was a kotzka chosid that it's a maisa that tells you what it means bitochen and what a kotzka chosid in those days was all about. Now you have to understand, they were all miserably poor. And it's a different kind of concept of poverty. We don't even know what that's all about. Maybe in the Ozark Mountains somewhere. I don't even know even there. But certainly we have no such hasaka. There was a chosid, and he was learning in the Beis Medrash the whole day, and his children were suffering, and his wife didn't have anything to eat for them. And she finally said, enough is enough. So he says to her, what should I do? So she says, how do I know? You have a Rebbe. Ask the Rebbe. So he goes to the Kotzke Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, she's right. Medaf epistan. You have to do something. It's like one of those, you know. Should ask the Rebbe, so what exactly do you have in mind? No, you can't ask the Rebbe anything. The Rebbe has spoken. Okay? So, every morning after going to daven in the shul in Kotsk, he made his way to the Beis Medrash to learn. But on the way was the Gvir, lived in a house that was on the way. The richest man in Kotsk, the only man maybe that had any money, he's right there on the way. So he passes by, he knocks on the window, and he continues going. The Gvir comes to the window, there's nobody there, because he already left. And so it is 3 days in a row, or 4 days. Finally, on the fifth day, the Gvir is getting very frustrated, and his curiosity is also piqued. So he decides that he's going to anticipate this fellow, because it's like clockwork, every day the same time. So he comes to the window, and he hops him. So he says, "What are you doing? You're making me crazy." So he tells him the whole story. "My wife and the Rebbe said the daf is ton. So why don't you wait till I come to the window?" He says, "Dos daf men echet ton." You see, if you think in terms of what I can accomplish, what he did was totally absurd. If you think in terms of bitachon, he did his ishtablus. Who says how much ishtablus you have to do? He knocked on the window. Mice, it worked. This Achzorius that the Gemara is talking about, it's not from a time of the Gemara. This is something that's a constant in many, many generations until very recently. I don't know if we still have such a thing. We'll see. We'll talk about it. So the Gemara says that when she asked him, "Yelodecha, ma es Elohem? What will I do for your children? They're crying, they're hungry. Veheshiv lo, ika kurme bi'agma. There are reeds, or whatever kurme are exactly, there are vegetations growing wild in the swamp, in the pond. Upirish Rashi, Yerokos hagedelim min ha'efker. Oy min tzemach asho nitan lohochem imenu ma'echol b'yosei rach." In other words, it's, you can forage in the wild, and you'll find for them what they eat. So he writes, "Ki zeh dovo boru." Now, this is the continuation of the Orchus Tzadikim from out, coming from that Gemara. He's just mentioned the Gemara, and these are his next words. It's very remarkable that the Orchus Tzadikim goes almost min ha-kotze el ha-kotze without stopping at any of the possible stages in between. It's never that terrible. He says an amazing thing. He says, if a person becomes preoccupied with parnosa for his children, because I have to provide, I have to provide, I have to provide, in the end, he's not even talking about bitul Torah. He's talking about doing averus. He says, in the end, it won't matter to you how you come to the money, as long as you get it. Bein be'isur, bein be'heter. Now, what I find remarkable over here is this extreme. What about an average person that just doesn't want to see his children suffer? Doesn't want their bellies to be empty when they go to sleep at night. Ki ha'ava mekalkeles hashura, he continues. Because when you love somebody, you end up doing things that are not beseder on their behalf. Like Avram saddles the donkey himself. Ava mekalkeles hashura. This is his second point. Interesting. I would have said that's the first point. That's what's mashma from the Gemara, because the Gemara talks about the importance of Torah learning. But he says that's the next point. The gam. It's also because he's going to be busy finding panosa day and night. With a certain level of comfort attached to it, you know, they shouldn't have to mutcher so much. Then he adds another thing, which is fascinating. There's one more achzorius. We'll get back to what he said a moment ago, of course. But there's one more achzorius that he describes. He described achzorius against Rishoyim. By the way, a parenthetic remark before we go to the next form of achzorius. The Zeder of Moshe Menachem Spiegel that I quote all the time, of Malichtik and Gan Eden, the Ost of Kalashina Rebbe, he came from that cheder of Kotsk and Ger. Anyhow, he once quoted a Koshnitz Magid, that the Koshnitz Magid said the following. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Misanecha Hashem Esna." It's the only place where you can really hate. You hate those who anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rishoyim. "Misanecha Hashem Esna ubiskoymemcha eskoytot." Tachlis sinah sineisim. I hate them in an ultimate way. The extreme sinah la'ayivim hayuli. They're my enemies. Then it says in the next, Chakreini keil v'dalavavi. So the Kashnitz Magid said, what's the hemshach? First you speak about hating Rishayim, and then you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, analyze my heart. Search my heart and know what's inside. So the Kashnitz Magid said that the only time a person is allowed, and maybe basically he eliminated all of us, the only time a person is allowed to hate even Rishayim is when that hate is only for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you feel the pain of the Ribbono Shel Olam and you want that person should change and he's not changing and you're filled with hate and resentment only on account of Hashem. If there's even a smallest shemitz of your own personal negiyah of any kind, then already that hate is tainted and you're not allowed to have it. So that's how the Kashnitz Magen explained the Hemshech. Chakreini keil v'dal levavi, know that I am pure in this and there is no personal negiyah at all. Gam yiya adam, this is the next achzarius. Gam yiya adam achzar al gufa. We're not talking about family, we're talking about his own self, his body. L'troyach tamid lasis ritzayn habayra yisbarach. V'lo yirachem al gufa le'adin oisai v'leilach b'shriris libay ach yis achzar al atzmai lokuf es yitzro hara lichyos chayetzar v'lasik batoyro v'lukayim ha-mitzvahs. Af im hadova kovid olav miyoid. And I think he's saying here two separate things. First of all, he's talking about physical privation. Yeah, that's the Rambam's Chayitzah Tichya. Very, very clear. Pas Bamelech Tochel for the Rambam is a critical ingredient for real godless Bataira. Real godless Bataira. It's very rare that someone does not take that route ever amounts to anything really big. But there's another nekuda there. He's talking about another kind of achzarius which is relevant to each and every one of us. A person has needs, desires, yearnings, all kinds of things which take him away from Torah mitzvahs. Natural instincts. Whatever they are. Sometimes they're machshavos, sometimes they're physical needs, sometimes they're things that you need materially. But they take you, not only do they lead to Bikul Torah because you're chasing after them, it's simply they take you away from the Yiddishkeit. That requires putting a noose around the neck of the Yetzer Hara. That's achzarius. Because when we fight our natural instincts, there's a certain measure of being miserable. And to be cruel to oneself is the only way that you can manage to overcome such instincts. Because it's very common. All addiction is based on this. What happens with addiction is very simple. The chemical balance of the body creates a tremendous surge of pleasure and satisfaction when you have the substance that you abuse and is craving for it and feels miserable, empty, and desperate when they don't have it. In a person to be able to deny something they're addicted to becomes almost impossible. We speak to the biggest of the big, you know, Rabbi Twersky, for example, who's Isaac in this, you know, to a very great extent. You know, the Rabbi Twersky from Pittsburgh. He says also, it's a gather of kol by ehola yeshuva. It's almost, once they're there, it's almost impossible to come back. Why is it so hard? Because it requires a fantastic measure of achzarius, which a person can't summon up. So I see people think of self-control like, you know, just don't do it. You don't do it is only when there's no achzarius involved. When there's achzarius involved, a person doesn't want to be an achzar. And this is what he's talking about, the ikar. You're not talking about privation, you know, you're tired, you'd like to sleep some more, you have to get up to That's also achzorius on some level. But the achzorius of denying the Yetzer Hara, of not sleeping a few extra minutes, is nothing compared to these big Yetzer Haras that are holding the person by the throat. That's why it's very important not to get into that Yetzer Hara too deeply in the youth, because once the childhood and the adolescence has been absorbed in these kind of inyanim, it requires an unbelievable koyach of achzorius, which most of us cannot summon up. That's why Chazal keep talking about pirkei noeh. One of the requirements for shliach tzibur, pirkei noeh, means he was good in his youth. He had a childhood that smacked of kedusha, of yirah shamayim, rather than the opposite. So every one of us has this struggle, because lemaisa, we all have our inyonim. And when that happens, the way to combat that yetzer hara that's holding us by the throat requires achzorius. I mean, we don't think of it in those terms. We speak about strong willpower. The strong willpower is just a word. It doesn't mean anything. When a person tries to control it, all of a sudden, he's confronting the most horrible monsters. And to be able to overcome that requires a tremendous amount of cruelty to oneself. Because it's not a question, use the word pleasure and use the word pain. It's nothing, it's words. But when the person has that kind of craving, you can kill for that. People rob consistently for it. They destroy their families for these inyanim. I have a family that was involved, the yeshiva bocher. I don't know how these things happen, but he got involved in gambling. And then he started coming home 4 o'clock in the morning. And then he started he made a lot of money. He had a beautiful panasa. He squandered every penny of it. And of course, may inyan, you get involved. You know, people who are like that, they don't end up becoming chavrusas of Rav Eliashiv, you understand? You know, this is, you're talking about a different kind of chevra. So memela, the whole thing went downhill, and it's a horror. And it's not so pashut what to do, and how do you deal with the children. And of course there has to be a divorce. It's not even shaykh. You can't redeem these people after a certain point. Because the redemption requires such godless and such achzorius. It's just not something that people can summon up, especially people who are inherently weak to begin with. I wanted to mention a kliyokar in this context. Bamison, it's a pasuk. Shevet Levi. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, through the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu in V'zois HaBrocha, speaks about Shevet Levi. So what is the plus, the greatness that Shevet Levi deserves? What is their greatness? Ha'aymer la'aviv la'imay la'yisiv ves echov la'yikir ves bonov la'yoda. Hishamru, brischa yensayru. Says the Kli Yakar. Ki Chazal Amru, first he quotes a Gemara in Megillah, before he quotes our Gemara in Erevin. Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, I think it's Tazayin, but anyhow, Kala Oisek Batayra Potum in Kibud Av. V'rayim Yankiv Shloi Nena Shal Oisen Arba Esrei Shonim Shehoya Nitman Bebeis Shem Ve'ever. The whole world knows this cheshbon, that in spite of the fact that Yaakov Avinu was punished in the parish of Yosef, that he suffered not knowing the fate of Yosef for those number of years, it was an exact number compared to the number of years minus that he was away from home, minus the 14 years. That did not count. Which 14 years? When he was in Yeshiva Sefer. So the Gemara says, "Gedola Talmud Torah, Yosef Mikibud Avay." There's a lot to say about that, but I had a thought that while the Kriya Satora was going on, an idea flashed into my head the other day. The pasuk says, "Vayiu be'enov kiyomim achodim ba'avosa Yosef." First, he worked for 7 years. Turns out that he didn't end up with Rachel, right? He didn't end up with Rachel. So he says, Ma'alei Shavua Zayis. First, finish off, that's where we learn that you're not married one Sheva Brachas with another. And I'll give you the other one, I'll give you Rachel as well. Finish the Sheva Brachas for Leah, and then I'll give you her, but for 7 years you have to work for me. So he works for another 7 years, says the Pasuk, but those 7 years were by you, be'enov kiyomim achodim. Yeah? I was thinking to myself that if a person is forced to do something, and it's over a very long period of time, but if you know that at the end of that, you're going to have your goal, so the work is easier, and the time seems to fly by. Very interesting. And that's what the pasuk seems to indicate. Vayu be'ein of kiyom mechod. In this. If you think only in terms of Rachel, it could be Bein of Kiyom Machadim. But what about Tatamama? Tatamama don't know where you are, they don't know what's happening to you. But you have to marry Rachel as well. That's part of the whole plan of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Maskev. That's how it started. Vehinei Rachel b'itei Baalei Matzai. Aber Lameisa, in the end of it, Elterlin are sitting there pining and yearning to find out what's doing with you and to get you back home safe and sound. And they don't know. So how should you measure each day? As a minute or as a year? If you're thinking about your parents. You have to do it. You have to stay here. But how do you measure it? How do you see it? It would never be Yom HaMachodim. It can't be Yom HaMachodim if you're thinking Kibbut Avay. And I think that's what the Gemara means in this, that there was a problem of Kibbut Avay, but those 14 years didn't count. So he continues, it's really Eiver. I remember once there was somebody giving a shir, and he said in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva, Yankov Avinu was for 14 years. So there's always somebody in the audience. This is a very unique audience, but in the regular kind of audience, there's always some jerk. It's not a Yiddish word, but it's exactly what I want to say. There's some fellow that wants to make the Rebbe miserable, and he wants to make himself important. So he gives a yell out, "Eh! It's not Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eiver. It's Yeshiva Sefer. Why do you say it's Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eiver?" And he's like making a federal case out of this thing, which is totally ridiculous and irrelevant. But the teretz is, because we have all these kofos that I was talking about at the beginning of this year, that sometimes we can't get rid of, even when we're 40 years old. Of a lemaisa, I remember once, there was a similar lemaisa. I was in the Lower East Side, someone was giving a very nice shiur grada, and he was talking about David HaMelech, and Sosa Noichal and Rasocha Kamaitza Shalom Rav, and the Gemara Masechus Menachos, which says that when he was in the Merchatz, he wasn't surrounded by mitzvahs, right? So he was worried, he's naked from all the mitzvahs, until finally he reminded himself of the Bris Milah, and that's Sasa Neichle Masecha Kemaitse Shalal Rav. Sasa is Mzumilah. So he says, Nebuch, this very wonderful darshan, was a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, and he's talking, and he says, the Gemara says, Histakel B'Milah. All of a sudden, this fellow jumps up from his seat. Histakel B'Milah? You're Mistakel B'Milah? What are you, crazy? David HaMelech was Mistakel B'Milah? You know, Mistakel means to be Ma'ayin. Of course, you're not supposed to look at that Eber B'Iyun, and so on and so forth. And he made Ashim Blotta. That's Yiddish. Ashim Blotta out of this rock. So I couldn't control myself. Normally I try my best to control myself. But I said to him, my dear friend, because I felt, was mamash, you're not allowed to see a Talmud Chacham being mevuza. You're not allowed. It's osur. It's a chil Hashem. And by being silent, you're mitzdarif to that fellow. So I said, listen here. You did a horrible aveira. Let's now ask, what kind of aveira did he do? Do you know that the Maharsha uses also a Lashon Histakel B'Milah? Doesn't mean he looked at the Aver. He's Ma'ayin in the Inyan, that I still have Bris Milah. That's what I told him. Anyhow, there always are such types. But the the inyan that the Kli Yoker is talking about, that he's potter mikibud av v'aim because he was not in yeshivas shem v'aver and yeshivas sever. If the Kli Yoker can say shem v'aver, anybody can say shem v'aver. It's inish gefalach. Shalaykiyam b'hem mitzvahs kibud avim shezel omer ha'aviv v'lima loy re'isiv. What does it mean? His children he didn't even know? So the Pashup chat is that they were all over the Avodah Zarah. But that's not the way the Kli Yoker perceives it. The Kli Yoker says that this is analogous to all these situations where the person isn't doing Averis. The parents are parents, and the children are children, and they're fine. And Afal Pikein it's Ha'omer La'aviv Elimai. When? When could there be such a situation where the parents are wonderful and Afal became loy re'isiv for Talmud Torah? And what about Bonav lo yada? Also for Talmud Torah. Where's the Gemara like that? The Gemara in Erevin. So Moed the Gepshat the Kli Yoker. Normally we say it's a big madrega that he didn't take sides and he wasn't partial to his family. And since they were all participating in the Chet HaEgel, however it was, because Shevet Levi wasn't, so who are these relatives? There's all discussion in the Mefarshim. Oh, but what it is Avodah Zarah. Here we're talking about nothing. They're not at fault. But there's a midah of Atzarius inside of me that is exercised to protect my limud ha-Torah, that ad kedei kach, that I can ignore the relationship of parents, I can ignore the relationship of children and my responsibility towards them. Kedeisav ha-masach ha-seirvin ma'u d'chsiv shchayres ka'ayrev. And he quotes the Gemara. I want to make a ha'ara about this. There's a maisa about the Vilna Gaon that his child was very, very ill. His son was ill. And apparently they had some sort of a room that was not in the base medrash of the grub. I don't know, there was like, it sounds like a compound of some sort. There were several rooms, and maybe you crossed the chotzer to get to it. But in any case, he was in that room. The Vilna Gaon knew that he was in that room and apparently attended to him at one point. And then he got involved in a very, very difficult sugya. And for 2 days, he was oisek in that question, in that inyan. It totally absorbed his mind. And it's only when he had some respite that he reminded himself that he has a son that's very ill in the room next door. 2 days. Now somebody hears a story like that, and they ask the following question. Granted that it teaches us a tremendous amount about the Vilna Gaon's Mesiras Nefesh for Torah. Granted it tells us a tremendous amount about his capacity for concentration and focus. That everything else was simply disappeared. Everything is wonderful. But what about the milk of human kindness? What about your normal instincts? What about being... And then, of course, if somebody wants to get really aggressive, why don't we ask the Vilna Gaon, what's the Torah for that he's learning so assiduously? So this Gemara is revealing to us a certain approach that runs counter to a lot of our more modern liberal kind of thinking. That Torah is fine and vital, but life is also. Life is for the living, and life is important, and you have to be a mensch, and you have to care about others, and on and on and on and on. And what about the Ksuba? It says in the Ksuba. That's what everybody brings. Next time I'm going to talk about what it says in the Ksuba. Yeah. Next time, b'li neder b'li shuva, but to bislach vais. But that's what he says. Shegam es bonav yaseh es atzmai kelo yodeya. That was the point that I wanted to bring. The Vilna Gaon, the Kli Yoker says, "Yaseh atzmai kelo yodeya." It's one thing to say I know, but this is kelo yodeya. The kol kach lama kishamri masecho v'rischa yitzaru yorim shpedach liyakiv. What's a loyma? Mitzad shein tzrichim lasik b'toyra tamid al kein gam es bonav lo yoda. So that's a chazal, and the Kli Yoker doesn't explain and excuse the chazal. He doesn't justify the chazal. It is what it is. That's what chazal tell us. So let's ask a little bit about this nekuda. We have this notion that you bring people into the world and you are responsible for them. And it's true. and you see a mission in Kiddushin, the father's mechuyev to be Mala's child and to be Paida's child, and it goes on and on and on, to find him a parnas and to find him a wife, and so on. And to teach him Torah, of course. So, we have another Gemara, who lilmad uv noy lilmad, who's Kaida, and so on. But in this pursuit of Torah, b'tnai that it's complete, b'tnai that it's genuine, there is a concept of allowing, of untethering yourself. It's a very, very unusual idea, and it takes a lot of time to digest it, because it runs counter to many of our balabatisha, including, I don't mean it in a negative sense so much, balabatim versus talmidei chachamim, that's not what I mean. It's the, it's like our fundamental instincts that are like, you know, life-oriented. It's not logical, plain and partial. If there are responsibility and no one else is responsible, so you know what the answer is? The answer is we don't normally connect bitachon to limud ha-Torah. They're two separate worlds. You can have a person that learns a lot and doesn't have that much bitachon, and vice versa. The emphasis is that bitachon is a handmaiden of limud ha-Torah. And without that measure of bitachon, you can never reach the ultimate madregas of learning Torah. What I'm driving at is this. We call it achzari ka'arev, but we don't mean that the person has to be an achzar. The midah is achzarius. But the person is invoking, it is his right, privilege, and responsibility to invoke the midah of bitachon for others. Normally you invoke bitachon for yourself. You know, it's very nice to say, you go and have bitachon. But when a person learns, he is entitled to invoke the midah of bitachon for others. Think for a moment what would happen if there were no kurmi ba'agam and its equivalent, that he would not be able to say starve to death. I don't care about you. What he's saying is, I have a level of bitachon that stretches beyond me to my mishpacha, and you have to share in that level of bitachon. Why? Because our enterprise as a mishpacha is my hatzlacha in learning. And lest you think that that sounds very selfish and self-centered, I want to remind you of a certain basic fundamental yisod, which is very essential to Yiddishkeit, and is also coming under attack, bizman hazeh. And that is the role of a wife in Talmud Torah. Now we go back to the model of Rachel Eishes Rabbi Akiva as an extreme of extremes, masculine. But what is she doing? She is living a life of absolute poverty. She becomes blackened by her hunger. She doesn't have a normal beged to wear. She wears tatters. Rabbi say, you are learning, it's wonderful. What is this person that made you what you are, languishing in total misery, bereft of family and maybe friends? Because Kalba Savua, when he wrote her off, everybody treated her like a pariah. And he doesn't have anything. And you're sitting and learning? You're telling your Talmidim Milsa the Bedichasa at the beginning of the Shia? To get them interested and to get them involved? You're functioning normally? Who are you, Rebecca? Who are you? What kind of midah is this? So you know what the answer is? The Gemara provides the answer to my question. But not directly, indirectly. But it's the answer for sure. When Rabbi Akiva comes back after those 12 years, which was the deal in those days. Of course, Rabbi Akiva's greatness was so unique that he started from zero. You know, he's like one of those cars that they promise you goes from zero, you know, to 100 miles an hour. You know, when you're going bumper to bumper, that's very important to have such a car. but he went from Olive Bays to the highest Madregas that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, is wondering what's this all about? Until he says, so you're talking about, but the bottom line is that 12 years was the norm. But where is she during those 12 years? So he comes back to her, and he hears her say, halavai, he should go for another 12 years. Now we have to understand that halavai. We have to understand that halavai. When he comes back after 12 years with 12,000 talmidim, she has glory. Most probably the statistical likelihood of her getting back together with her father is very great. Because the father sees now that she was right and he was wrong. Elamai says that's what happened in the end after the 24 years. But at this moment, the stakes for her are unbelievable. So what happens? She's sacrificing all of this. She is the Achzori al Atzma much more than he's an Achzori on her. When he hears that commitment to Torah, he's obligated to be an Achzor on her. I don't know if you fully understand what I'm driving at, but it's exactly that that allows us to understand Rabbi Akiva much, much better and be informed about his continuing on this path, even though she suffers more and more as time goes on. Because that suffering is her commitment. And Lamaisa in Yiddishkeit, it has been that way in all the daimes. And when that breaks down, because the wife says, I'm not committed to that value, or the wife says, I have my own life to live, or the wife says, I want to be a Talmud Chacham. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be in business. And we just don't have time for this. Because if I'm busy with all of that, you have to share the responsibilities. Do you know how many discussions there are now all over the place about how much the father has to provide care in the house when the mother's working, and how much the mother's supposed to provide care in the house when the father's working, as if they both have to share that responsibility in the house, shove it b'shove it. And if Chas v'Shalom person's plates of pel mitzapsif, then all the feminists shoot them down, manage like rabbits in the field. It's the truth. The world has changed kimat min akotza akotza from this value to the point where we look at this value and we ask ourselves, what kind of Torah is this? And you know why it has to be that way? Very simply. The Torah is vast. The Torah is vast. Spoke about it many, many times. No matter how much you try, you won't accomplish it. That's the only guy's famous marshal about the general in the field when he won the battle. The Torah is so vast. And the Torah demands intense and the concentration and the assiduousness and the resolve and the commitment and the time, and it's impossible for a person to do that and have one hand tied behind his back. So when it's not the agenda of the family, what happened after he said Ika Kurmi Ba'agma? The Gemara doesn't tell us. What happened after he said that? What happened after that Kotzke Chosid came back and said, I did my ishtadlis? So when the child's crying, the mother will be in pain. But will the mother say, that's it, you're not learning anymore? Not if she's Jewish. It's not the Torah way. The mother says, my mesiras nefesh is that you could be an Avzar. That's what's the way it is.